This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, that music that you are hearing is not our typical music that we have as an intro. That is actually from Fuller House, which is a Netflix TV series, and it's going into its fifth year. They've just wrapped up the shooting for the fifth year. There are four seasons that are out there, and you might wonder why we're playing that. Well, we're going to be featuring one of the co-stars here today, who is one of the young cast members, Mr. Michael Campion. But I know that you're going to enjoy today's podcast, but before we get that, a couple of things I want to, first of all, tell you that, of course, this episode is sponsored by theperfecttrick.com, and I would like to invite you guys that if you're going to be purchasing something online that will fit your magic needs, then you need to go check out theperfecttrick.com, because Eric Citron, who is the owner and manager over there, will definitely take care of you. We've had a few people who have gone and used the promo code. Just type in Word, and you'll get a 10% discount, and some people have sent me emails saying, wow, what an easy guy to work with. It's really great, and he's super, and the service was speedy, and it was everything I expected, plus I got a discount, so it was really super. Want you guys to go try it out. Please do. Go visit my friend's website there, theperfecttrick.com. Thank you, Rick, for sponsoring this. But the podcast we have here today is someone that kind of came a little bit out of the blue. I was contacted by a publicist of a celebrity who was saying that this young man named Michael Campion, 16-year-old, is interested in magic, and he stars on Netflix special called, Netflix series, I should say, that's called Fuller House, which is a reboot of the 1980s show with Bob Saget and others that was Full House. And not too much to spoil it, it's just obviously that time has passed, and now we're of a different generation, and these are some of the people who have grown up, and some of the kids and grandkids, and so it's a fun and funny show, and I would recommend that you go and check it out if you have Netflix. If not, then you need to subscribe to Netflix. There are way too many things on Netflix to start getting into now. I watch it all the time. Binge watch a lot of really great shows that are on there too. Anyhow, I would suggest that you check that out. Again, it's called Fuller House, and they've just finished four seasons that are on Netflix now, but the fifth season has just been filmed. They're editing, and I guess that's going to be out there then soon. But the conversation that we have is all magic. You can go out and listen to other podcasts or other interviews on YouTube and with Michael, a young man who is kind of a heartthrob, I guess, and you can see all the photos and whatnot about him, but and what's going on with his acting career and his personal life and everything. But we really get to talk, really have a nice intimate conversation about magic and magicians and kind of the state of the arts of what it's like right now for magic, I guess, and for him to be a celebrity who does magic, and how he's trying to get magic into some of his roles that he's playing, and also what his future plans are, what he would really kind of hope to do. Well, I don't want to spoil too much of this. You're going to enjoy this. This is really a lot of fun, and I always enjoy getting to speak with young people to kind of hear their perspective of the status of what they see magic right now being and where they see it evolving, and in getting involved at going to magic conventions as well as the contests and everything for youth to get involved in. But then he has a different perspective from the standpoint that he doesn't have a traditional school. That is, his education is not traditional, so he really can't go to school and kind of show all of his friends in sports activities and whatever else. He's, as a celebrity, they're kind of, if you will, homeschooled. They have a different kind of schooling there. Well, again, he's going to talk about that, so I'm going to step out of the way and let you listen to this great conversation. Quite interesting. I think you will enjoy and learn a lot from this week's guest, Mr. Michael Campion, here on The Magic Word.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and I have with me today a young Mr. Michael Campion, who is a young magician out of California. Actually, he lives in Florida, but he's working in California. And I say working, and you're thinking, wait a minute, a 16-year-old, what is he doing working? Well, that's because he's an actor. He's not necessarily working magic, although, yes, he's doing that also, because he keeps busy doing just a little bit of everything. And that's why I wanted to chat with him today, because of his interest in magic and what he's doing, and being out there near the Magic Castle, and just a lot of stuff to talk about, and also about your acting career and kind of what's going on out in LA, etc. So hello, Michael, and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad that you're available. You know, it's always great to talk with young people about magic and kind of what their thoughts are and the direction of magic. And gosh, I have so many questions whenever that I do see youth at conventions to kind of find out, you know, why they attend and what are they looking to get out of it and how they got there and that kind of thing. Different things we can get into over here. But let me also preface this a little bit. When I said acting, for those who are listening who may not be familiar, that you're one of the featured actors in the Netflix TV show, now in its fourth season, of Fuller House.
Yes, I am. I play Jackson on Fuller House. It's DJ's oldest son, the main character.
Okay. And Fuller House, of course, was or is like the next generation of Full House, of the show that we remember way
back
when.
Correct, yeah. So, yeah, it's all the young kids, like DJ, Stephanie, and Kimmy, and they're all grown up, and they have children. And like I said, I play DJ's oldest son on the show.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, we're going to get to that a little bit later, but obviously the thrust of this was going to be, of course, in magic. And
yes.
The fact that you really like it. And I know I was listening to a short interview that you had done online, and you were talking with some lady and about magic as well. And you were saying that some of your favorite magic is close-up and ropes, I guess, also. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
But it's not just ropes, but just ring on rope. Is that right? One of the things in particular that you like?
Yeah, I like ring on rope. I think one of the very first tricks I learned was the cut and restored rope, and uh-huh. I was just blown away. I was absolutely blown away. And when I learned it, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And so I think actually rope magic got me. Yeah, like I said, I think that's what like transitioned me into it. And that's always been near and dear to my heart. I feel like ring on rope, I mean, it's cool, but it's not my favorite one, I would say.
Same with me. It's okay, but that's, you know, I like rope tricks and the ring on rope. Yeah, I've seen a lot of good routines, and that's fine, but that's not my thing. But it is for a lot of people, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So, as I understand it, that you were born in Atlanta, moved to Orlando then, and so you may not have been old enough to know some of the magicians in and around the Atlanta area before you moved, like Dan Garrett and some of the guys there. Is that right? Or how young were you when you moved to Orlando?
Oh yeah, I was 3 years old when I moved. I was born in 2002, if you can believe that much. But yeah, so
I've got socks that are older than you.
I'm sure you do. I know there's a lot of things older than I am. Yeah. But I feel like some of my favorite magicians, they're like, I like a lot of classic magicians, like, don't get me wrong, you know, I read a lot of those books and all that, but I think some of the magicians that really got me interested in magic, well, the very first magician I was actually exposed to was Jeff McBride, and he's super, super nice guy. Yeah. I met him at this magic shop really close to my house. Also, just recently, I have been watching a lot of Chris Ramsey. I don't know. I know a lot of people don't really like Chris Ramsey, but he mm-hmm. was another one of the guys that got me into it. And Michael Carbonaro, I've always liked those guys. They're really, really cool. Very talented.
But do you like card artistry also, I guess, you know, like Dan and Dave Buck type of stuff?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's my main thing. I know a few moves. Cardistry is not magic. I think what I really like about magic is the fact that I can tell a story. And sure, like, you know, you can tell a story with cardistry, but it's not like, it's not a story, you know? It's not a routine, if you know what I'm saying.
No, exactly, because my thinking on that is it's beautiful and it's juggling. I mean, I love watching jugglers.
It's juggling. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So are there certain sleights that you had learned? I mean, I would think as a young man, which I suspect you could probably get started, what, 8, 9, 10 years old or something?
Yeah, I was 8 years old when my aunt and uncle first gave me. Oh, this is a very interesting story, actually. My aunt and uncle, they were clowns for the Ringling Brothers Circus at the time.
Huh.
And now they're actually Santa and Mrs. Claus professionally. And, you know, my uncle, he's a real bearded Santa. Mm-hmm. And they're actually Santa and Mrs. Claus at Epcot this year in Orlando. So they actually got me interested in magic first. They gave me a kit. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was one of those like generic kits, and it had some ropes, it had some cups and balls, and ropes is, you know, like I said, what really got me into it. And then from there, I guess cards came a little bit later. It was like a lot of the prop kind of gimmicky sort of stuff, but then I really started to like do sleight of hand when I was about 10 years old. And then I kind of dropped out a little bit from like 11 to 12 because I got Fuller House, and you know, things just went way out of, you know, yeah. that was a big change in my life.
Right.
But recently I've really been getting back into it. I'm so sorry. I totally got off topic of the question. What was the question exactly?
No, that's okay. We were talking about ropes and getting into that, and kind of, I said you were probably about 8 or 9, I thought, when you were getting started with all that. And then kind of, you know, that's, I'm always kind of interested, I guess, what the gateway magic is to get people involved. Ropes were for me, and then when I really started getting more serious about some sleight of hand and stage, I got more into sponge balls and then into linking rings.
Okay, yeah, I think sponge balls was actually next for me after ropes. I never really got into linking rings. I remember being so fascinated by like the big stage illusions, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. And when I actually performed them, I was like, you know, this is just all right. It's just uh-huh. Okay. But then I really got into card magic for a good long while there. I think cards is still like, I don't want to say like my main thing, because it's cards and ropes. That's the whole thing for me.
So like at school, do you carry with you a deck of cards? And I don't suppose you carry like a little hank of rope in your hip pocket or something, but cards are easier to carry, I guess.
Yeah, cards are easier to carry. Actually, interesting story. I don't go to a normal school. See, going on set, it's very difficult to you know, be at a school and, you know, be on set at the same time. So mm-hmm. there's a school called Opus, and they have a lot of child actors who come to them because they're very accommodating of the schedule. And it's not homeschool; it's like an independent study where like a teacher will come on set. And you know, they get hired, and you know, they'll help you with whatever work you have. And then once you're offset, you go to like the teacher once a week to turn in your work. But on set, yes, I carry my cards wherever I go. I think that's what I'm doing like 90% of the time.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that a little bit later, but now that you had mentioned that, as far as going to school, because again, if you lived in Florida, I assume your parents must have moved, or are they with you then in California?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, like my mom is with me. My dad, unfortunately, owns two companies, and so he has to stay down there most of the time. But he comes up every, you know, 2 months or so to visit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that was what I was going to ultimately get to, is what you had mentioned was about school, because I was wondering how that how actors, particularly youth, get school to fit in with the rest of their shoot schedule. You know, so. You kind of answer that, but I suspect also that whenever that you shoot, that there is a maybe a 3 or 4, maybe 6 month type of a schedule, and then you're off for a while.
Yeah, it can be a little bit challenging, I have to admit, because balancing school and balancing work, basically any time we have off, we're doing school. We have to have a minimum of 3 hours a day, and honestly, I feel like I learn so much better with a one-on-one kind of deal, because, you know, I go at my own pace and I don't really need a, you know, like a school kind of environment, because my school environment is my actor friends. And I think that's, and my magician friends as well.
Yeah.
But I guess if I really had to choose one, it would be this for sure. It would be this kind of schooling.
Yeah, and well, with the Fuller House, your shoot schedule right now, I'm sure that from one season to the next, just like with any other serial or sitcom or whatever that
yeah.
you don't know from season to season whether it's going to be renewed or not. I mean, they typically don't, you know, I guess unless it's Game of Thrones or something that's really popular,
yeah.
you know, or Big Bang Theory, as far as having contracts that they'll say, you know, for the next 2 years or something. So you probably don't know, particularly this being a Netflix kind of a thing. So when they shoot, how long is the period that you're in the shoot?
It can range from like 7 to 10 months. Typically, it's on the lower end because we do anywhere from 13 to 18 episodes, depending on how many Netflix gives us, and that depends on, you know, just their budget or whatnot.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I feel like when I'm off and I'm doing school, it can be a little bit boring because, like, you know, we're actually in the off season right now. I'm trying, you know, I'm auditioning and all that sort of stuff. Also, another thing I want to touch on later is the Magic Castle, so I'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
So you know, just being here, doing school, I'm auditioning. It can be a little bit lonely, I have to admit. But, yeah, it's typically, like, you know, 7 to 10 months to answer your question.
Yeah, yeah, because that I know that early on in the episodes, or rather in the series, there were fewer episodes, and then as it gets more successful, then they will shoot more episodes, I guess, each season.
Yeah, I really hope they add some more this season, because this last season, their budget went down for some reason, and we had to go back to 13, because we had 18. I don't know what happened, but I cross my fingers for this season.
Now, this is you've completed the fourth season? I mean, you're done with that right now?
Yep, completed the fourth season.
Okay, and then if you don't know, I guess, right now about whether there'll be a fifth season or not at this point?
I mean, the way that we left things was very very positive, because we also got nominated for an Emmy.
Cool.
And that really brought a lot of attention to our show, and I personally think we're going to be picked up, because they were already talking about it, like, by the time we left, but if not, it would be for some other reason, not because it's not popular.
Right. And so whenever did you start the shoot? Is that in the spring or late winter, or what time will they pick up and start the shoot again?
We try and do two seasons in a year. This year it's probably going to start in February, and or February or March. That's when season 5 is most likely going to start, if we get it.
Yeah. Now, as far as I was talking about having a deck of cards and kind of entertaining the people on the set and everything like that, that I also had heard that, as I understand it, that your character does not do magic, and I guess you floated that idea to them, and they haven't been too wild about using that yet.
Yeah, I tried so hard to get them to get me to do magic, because, you know, it's a unique skill that most people don't have, and
sure.
And I've been pressing for, I don't know, like, almost a whole year now, and they're like, you know, we didn't really see it in Jackson's character. He's going a whole other direction. And, whatever. They made one reference to it, though. I was very happy. They said, because, you know, my character on the show is very clumsy, and they mentioned that I had broken my thumb trying to do close-up magic, but that was the only reference that they ever made. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, I would think, again, if you're showing us some pretty cool card tricks, they're going to say, well, you know, he's not just an avid amateur or enthusiast. He actually is a real deal and could do some cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because I actually do really get to do magic all the time on set, because every Friday we actually have a live audience come, and there's the crowd entertainer guy, and I know him really well, and sometimes he'll let me go up, set up a little something, and do it for the crowd, so that's kind of like my...
Yeah.
My weekly training. I think that's how I get my my magic fix.
Right, right. Well, in talking about the Magic Castle, of course, they've got a junior program. Have you been involved with that at all?
That is a great question. Actually, on Saturday, I'm auditioning to be a junior member. It is a very exciting moment. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. But yeah, I've been there 3 times. And all 3 times were absolutely amazing. I love the Magic Castle.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to the Magic Castle, right?
Oh, I work there fairly regularly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. yeah, no, it's incredible. I really hope to get into the junior program.
Yeah, they have a very good program, both for youth and adults, because I know that in the adult program that Mark and Nani Wilson actually are teaching a class there. But the youth program, of course, they have had a lot of alumni who have graduated from their class and, you know, gone on to be full-time professionals that are quite well-known in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, funny story, I was in Vegas, And they're you know who Piff the Magic Dragon is?
Of course, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah. So I went to one of his shows, and I got some like VIPs, you know, like behind the scenes sort of deal with them. Mm-hmm. And he let me do a trick for the audience. That was incredible. Wow. And then after that, he was saying like, hey, I'm gonna be at the Magic Castle if you ever wanna you know, like come by and, you know, like we'll do some tricks together. So that was really cool. I thought that was I think that's like the closest I've ever gotten to like fanboying. So that was cool.
Yeah, performing on the Las Vegas stage at 16 years old. How about that? That's pretty cool.
It was something, I gotta say.
So do you get to Las Vegas from time to time and see some of the acts? I mean, like Matt Franco and you know, all the guys?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've only been to Vegas twice, and the first time I went, I was very young, and I just went two months ago.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw Piff, and I got to see David Copperfield. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was just those two. It was just Piff.
Well, I would think, you know, at the age of 16, you're going to be kind of limited as to some places you can go.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. One day, maybe I'll go to Vegas and, you know, there's going to be a bunch of new acts, and I'll be like, oh, look at this guy. He's cool. So,
yeah, there are a lot of really good acts, you know, obviously, that are out there. And so, have to go out there on your 21st birthday. You know, that way you can go and see all the shows.
21st birthday. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, Vegas, for sure. Yeah. Actually, that's a great idea. I'm definitely going to do that for my 21st birthday. Thank you.
Going back to the Magic Castle, you said you've been there then a couple of times and seen some of the shows and everything. So as coming in as a junior member, do they still limit you as far as access when you can come in? I mean, is it just during like the Sunday and Saturday brunches or something as a youth, or do you know?
Yep, it's kind of sucky, to be honest with you. I wish that we could go in, but no, we have to audition to, you know, like do brunches and... but there is, I'm pretty sure there's one week, it's like Future Stars Week, where you can go in and it's all access to everyone. And it's 1 week of just all junior members doing it throughout the week. So I went there, I think that was the second time I went. Very, very cool. Hopefully I can get in there. Who knows? Maybe not. But those are for the pros. Those are for the big guys.
Well, whenever that you're going to be auditioning, what have you got in mind? What are you going to be doing? Because by the time that this is going to be airing, it will be after you've already done your audition. So, you can tell me it's not going to be a secret because it'll know by then.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm doing a close-up act, and oh my god, my routine is really good. I'm not trying to sound like I'm bragging.
I'm sure it is.
I'm very proud of it. I got to say, I worked very hard for a couple months on this, and now it's fully polished. It's ready to go, and maybe hey, if you stop by to, you know, watch the audition, or maybe one day come by, I'll show you it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. I would like to see that. So is it mainly cards, or are you going to be doing some coins and other
things? It's cards. There's a little surprise ending at the end with a jumbo deck of cards, but
okay.
It's a gimmick, the funny gimmick at the end.
Yeah. And you're limited to what, 12 minutes, or how long of a time have you got?
5 minutes, if you
Five.
Can believe.
Holy cow.
Five. Oh, it's ridiculous. When I was first creating this routine, I had no idea it was 5 minutes. So I was like, okay, you know, 10 minutes is okay. I had to shave down so much in these past few weeks because we just got the information that it was 5 minutes. Oh my gosh, because, you know, 5 minutes, I don't know. 5 minutes is not enough to, like, express yourself.
And introduce your character and everything, yeah.
Exactly. So I had to shave down a lot of time. And, I mean, hey, it's still good. I got to say, it's not bad. But yeah, maybe one day I'll be able to do a 20-minute routine. Who knows?
Yeah, well, maybe on that Celebrity Week or whenever that they, you know, feature the youth, you might be able to do a longer piece. You know, in learning the magic also and attending the castle, my question has to do about magic conventions. Have you been to any or many magic conventions?
I actually stopped by Magic Live the week that I went down to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you know, I didn't actually know Magic Live was going on. I was so in the dark because I didn't even know. To be honest with you, I had heard of Magic Live, and I didn't know, I didn't really look into it, but I got tickets because they were like right there. I was like, wow, this is like 2 minutes from my hotel. Yeah. So I went down for a day. That was really cool. The reason I actually went to Vegas is because I went to a hacking convention called DEF CON. Do you know what?
I do. Actually, I do. Sure. DEF CON? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of into that stuff as well, like computer hacking and all that sort of thing.
Okay.
So,
legal yeah. Hacking, obviously.
Legal. Yes, of course, legal.
Yeah, you're not going to be breaking into the NSA or something, you
know? No. I'll do some card tricks for them, but I'm not going to break into the NSA. I'm good. That's funny.
Yeah. So you were saying that you just stopped by like for a day or two and go in the dealer's room or something, get like a one-day pass or what? Something?
Yeah, Yep, I got a one-day pass. I went to some of the vendors. It was actually like a little bit later in the day, so some of the people weren't like it wasn't as active. I got some really cool tricks though. I met Spidey. Do you know?
Sure. Yeah. I've seen him on the Masters of Illusion. You know, Gabe Blackstone show.
Yeah. That's right. I met Spidey. Very, very cool guy. I wish I would have met Chris Ramsey. That would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was there, I believe.
Yeah, he was there. I got some really cool tricks, and I met a lot of really cool people.
Now, when you say some cool tricks, obviously that the dealers have a lot of cool tricks, and particularly at Magic Live, because Stan encourages them to roll out something, at least one trick that is being introduced for the first time there to make it really special. And so the booths also are really decorated great, as you saw. That mean that it's not like
a usual convention. So, no. It was very high. Yeah. It was great.
So what was it that that attracted you to? What tricks did you buy?
So I actually went around. I went around to everyone, and mm-hmm. and I wanted to see, oh, like, you know, what's going on here? I want to see what you got. And one that really, really struck me was I can't remember the name of it, but it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. So this was this card box that unfolded, and it was a prediction, but it wasn't just a prediction. It was like it was a very visual change from like the card box to the prediction. It was like a snap change card box. I don't really know how else to describe it. If you look up like the snap change card box sort of deal, mm-hmm. this guy he takes the card box, he unfolds it, and then he puts it up to the guy. He like flicks it, and it turns into their prediction. And the mechanism behind it was so small. I was like, this is absolutely incredible, and I wanted to share it with everyone. But you know, he got to buy it. It was pretty expensive. I got to be honest with you. A lot of stuff there was in the $30 to $50 range. Just a baseline.
Yeah, who was it that was selling that? Do you remember?
It
wasn't Vanishing Ink over there, was it?
Or no, it wasn't Penguin, Vanishing Ink. Gosh, I wish I could remember the name.
Yeah, but basically the card box changes to a card.
Yes.
Basically, okay, that's interesting, yeah.
I remember what it was. It was like Rostani Magic.
Oh, Rostani, yeah. He Rostani, does a lot of, yeah, I think he has a lot of apps for your phone and stuff.
That yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Very cool.
Speaking of which, that was something that I got from another company. I think it was Penguin that was selling this. It was called Expert Phone Technique. And it was, what's the guy's name? Just a minute here. Robert Ramirez. And he was one of the performers doing a close-up, and he did a thing with the phone where you would borrow an iPhone, basically, and with the calculator that you could erase numbers with your finger, and you could add numbers with your finger without typing it in, and then kind of, I don't know. He had a whole routine that just blew me away, and I went over to buy it, and he had a stack of these. Basically, it was just a USB flash drive that you would buy that you know, had the thing on it. The DVD and everything on there, and it was he was just selling them left and right. I mean, after he had performed it, everybody else was blown away. I mean, he was very entertaining, first of all, but the routine was good. That was one of the things I got, and then I got a brick of Mark cards. They had a pretty good deal on that. I think it was Penguin had that then also. It was like $5 a deck. You know, how can you go wrong with that?
That's great. Yeah,
it was a nice Mark deck. So did you get to see the evening show or see any of the focus sessions, or just go to the dealers only?
I didn't. I just went to the dealers because I actually that night I was going to Piff, so I had I had to kind of cut it short a little bit. But I think I know the one that you're talking about. Was it Music in the Mirror? Is that the one? It was the.
You mean the phone trick?
Yeah. Was that?
No.
Am I?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking something different.
No, this is something just actually, using a calculator on the phone.
Just using
phone.
Okay. Got it. So Robert, I actually know him personally. He was showing me this. Well, he is over at the Magic Apple. Do you know
sure,
where
yeah,
that is?
That's Brett Garris's play. Sure. Or Studio
that's
City.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I met him like 6 months ago or something like that. And yeah, we just had this like incredible connection, and he's been kind of like mentoring me.
Very nice.
And he gave me it was really cool. He also when I was there, he gave me this really special trick that he was not giving to anyone else, because he hadn't actually put it on uh-huh. the market yet. It's on the market now, I believe. It's called Live and Let Die, but like it's not die, D-A-I, you know, like die.
Yeah.
And it's this it's this triumph routine, but you actually shuffle the things like inside and like up and down, and like you can show it's up and down, and it was so smooth, so clean, and I definitely want to show you if we ever like you know see each other at the Magic Castle. That's one of my top favorite tricks right there, because
it
fools magicians, not only laymen, but it fools magicians, because you know like. If you get a layman, you show them Triumph, it's like, oh, okay, that's enough. But obviously, like, you know, the magician is, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. This one, I was most definitely fooled. So you should check it out. It's called Live and Let Die.
It sounds like one of the things that you should have considered doing as your audition. If it's
it was really, really cool. And I was considering it, but I had already started to make a routine. And how long ago was Magic Live? It was
in August. It was just a couple months ago.
It was in August. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, that's so weird. I keep thinking August is like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, imagine the things that you're up to and, you know, and shooting every day plus school and everything else you got going on. I would think time flies pretty quick.
Oh, time flies. Like, I don't even remember season 4. Like, it was just like one giant, like it felt like one episode of me, to be honest with you. It really is. Time definitely flies when you're having fun. I think.
Yeah. The reason I was talking about conventions, cause I was wondering if that was something perhaps you may have gone to in the past or ever competed in a contest or something. Is that something that
I have?
You have?
Yes, I have. I didn't win, unfortunately. I got second place, but, it was at the Magic Dove in Florida. I don't know. Have you been to, do you know what that is? The Magic Dove? It's kind of a smaller shop. It's
no.
not really.
No.
Yeah. So it's the Magic Dove Magic Shop. And they host competitions there, every year for the Society of Young Magicians or mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
Society,
SYAM.
Yeah. SYAM. Yeah. That's the Society of Young Americans. Yeah. Okay. And they have like Florida Magician of the Year, and if you win one of their competitions, you can be put in the bigger one. I didn't win, unfortunately. I tried twice. I got second place both times.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to competing in the big one once I go back down to Florida.
I'm glad to hear that, because that's something that a direction I wanted to go, to find out if you would also recommend and encourage other youth your age and younger perhaps and to enter contests.
Oh yeah, it's incredible, because you know you have like a goal. You know, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're like, okay, I'm gonna practice this to do this, and then I'm gonna go to the show. And it's like it keeps you motivated, I guess,
right.
Because you know, when you're just practicing, yeah, exactly. Like when you're just practicing by yourself, it's fun and it's nice, but you're like, okay, I'm looking for people to show this to. It's not like, oh, I have someone, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Well, particularly in your situation, I mean, whenever I talk with some other youth, let's say they're in junior high or high school, they have other fellow students all day long that they can show it to, and the teachers and everything. And as you said, you have a very unique situation where, you know, you don't have a school body that you can show them to. You know, it's almost, as you say, like being homeschooled, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. So any chance I get, I'm like, you're going to see a magic trick.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you get an opportunity, if you're going to be at the grocery store or wherever, you know, you know, McDonald's, like, or someplace, you know, you can flip out and change a one to a hundred. You got change or whatever kind of a thing.
Oh, I dropped my wallet. Oh, look, it's on fire now. Wow, that's weird.
Exactly, exactly.
That is funny.
I think that by attending conventions, I always encourage people to attend conventions because of a variety of reasons. First of all, you get to see a good cross-section of different kinds of magic, close-up and stand-up and stage, and different performers and their personalities, and you get exposed to a lot of different ideas that you can take a little bit of this and that, and that's what kind of helps to create your ideas to form your own personality that you eventually have that is going to be uniquely you. Plus also, of course, to see these magic tricks demonstrated live as opposed to watching a YouTube video or getting a download link or whatever, that it's best, I think, you were lucky at the Dove Magic Shop you were talking about, certainly to have
very lucky
a magic dealer there who's going to be able to show you something, and if you've got a question about something, you know, he'll show you, or the right handling, or, you know, you put your hands like this, or, you know, the little subtleties also that would really sell it, you know.
And I think also going to conventions, you kind of have like a sense of community. You feel like, like, these are my people, you know, because I feel like wherever I go, in this industry, people do appreciate magic. Like, that's no problem. But it's not like I'm mystifying them, because, you know, like, they, I'm gonna put this in a way. This sounds really bad, but, like, when I'm with my normal friends that aren't actors, you know, I feel like I kind of have like a higher social status where, you know, they're very interested in what I do because they don't understand it. And when I'm with like my performer friends or actor friends, they're less impressed. So I generally tend to find not just laymen, but like laymen, the ones who don't really have anything to do with any of that stuff. Those generally get the best reactions.
You have a large social network, I'm sure, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything else, you know, and I think that's another thing that is a false social status, in my opinion, for young people thinking, I don't need to go to a convention because I have enough social interaction with people who are texting me and sending pictures and all the rest of this. Yeah, you know, that's okay digitally, but there's nothing like actually, you know, being hands-on, you know, where you you know, see somebody.
Yeah. I'm definitely a kinesthetic learner. I don't do well with in fact, if I didn't have an Instagram, if I didn't have a phone, I would be completely fine. I'm not very connected with that world. The only reason I am is because I have to. And I guess, you know, when I text my friends, I usually say, "Hey, come over," and then that's it. Like, I don't like have like full conversations. But yeah, no, that's so true. I feel like people, especially in the magic industry, you know, for people who don't really understand like the real performer's side, they just think that, oh, you know, it's totally fine if I, you know, just do some, you know, YouTube magic. They don't ever like seek out something, deeper because they don't really understand, you know, you get what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. And so I suspect that you have a lot of friends your age who are more into the digital social media rather than,
yeah,
you know, setting it aside and actually having a relevant conversation eye to eye.
That's true. Yeah, honestly, everything in this industry is, for lack of a better word, fake, I guess, because, you know, you have the you know, YouTube influencers who make millions off of, you know, opening a box, and it's this is lame. And I'm constantly in that world with them. I feel like with magic, you have to be very hands-on, and that's why I don't really interact with too many actor friends. I have a lot of friends who are at the Magic Castle, and you know, I hang out with them a lot more than I do anyone else, really.
Now, when you're saying friends, are they your age also? The
my
castle?
Age, yes.
Okay.
Yep, they're the youngest one is 15, the oldest one is 17. So we're kind of a big group of magicians, and we go everywhere together. We're best friends.
Are they actors also, or are they just magicians and just you say
regular? Two of them are actors, actually. They kind of do magic on the side, but for the rest of the three, they actually that magic is pretty much their main thing, because, you know, they've been doing magic since like birth practically.
In their situation, whenever that they're as an actor, have they tried to incorporate magic into their characters?
That's a great question, because I asked them about this as well, and pretty much their answer was yes. Anytime anyone asks, like, okay, like, what are you into? What do you do? Magic is the first thing that they show them. And generally, for the past three roles that my friend has gotten, all three times, they have written magic into his character because they thought it was so interesting. So I'm like, you know what? That's a great idea. I definitely want to do that. So it's a great opportunity to show off your skills.
Because I think about people like, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, for an example. I'm sure that he did magic when he was younger, but didn't really get to do much stuff until he got to a certain status in life could kind of, you know. And I think, you know, Steve Valentine, of course, he's not a young actor, but he was a magician first and then an actor, and kind of had to put magic on the back burner because that it was not recognized as really being a true talent or an art. And I think that someone had said they felt like that his career could have been hindered if he would have tried to play up anything of being a magician. But he kind of got to the point and the status where that he could admit to being a magician, you know. And the same thing with Neil Patrick Harris and some others, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of why I'm not, like, veering away from acting, but I'm trying my hardest to, like, incorporate it, I guess, to trying to have it in harmony, because there's a lot of things that I'm interested in, and I really want to do all of them without having to, you know, put all of my focus into one thing.
Right.
I guess I don't want to fall into that trap of that, because magic is... If I'm being completely honest with myself, I think magic is my passion. Acting is my passion as well, but it's, I think magic really, like, okay, let me clarify a little bit. Okay. Acting is great, and I love it. I love the art, but you have to deal with so much, you know, BS in between that sometimes it's like, I don't want to do this. And then with magic, you know, it's, everyone is such an open community, rarely any judgment. And we're all just kind of together making magic. So, it has a lot of the stuff, that I love about acting, but it's so much more, it's deeper and it's meaningful. It's more meaningful, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I think you'd have also agents and other people who are around you from the acting standpoint that would kind of work with you and help protect you from some of the politics of all that. I mean, and there are certain things that you want to do or directions you'd like to go, but, you know, that you're not in a position yet to do that. And so I'm sure you got people around you saying, you know, slow down a little bit.
I do. I think that my agent and my manager and my PR person, they all think it's very cool. They don't ever really do anything with it. They don't try to, you know, they don't encourage it, but they don't necessarily, like, discourage it either. Yeah. So it's just kind of like a neutral thing.
You know, on a related note, the fellow who is the star of Young Sheldon, Ian Armitage.
That's funny, because they actually shoot right across from us.
Oh, no
on
kidding.
The Warner Brothers lot. Yeah.
Do you ever run into him?
I know Montana. I know the little girl, his sister on the show. I'm forgetting her name right now. And I know him. Yeah, they're very cool.
The reason I mention is because I have heard him talk a time or two in some talk shows or something where he said that he likes magic and his long-term career goal was to do a stage show in Vegas.
I did not know that. I definitely am going to check that out now.
You need to go explore that. In fact, 100%. If you get a talk with him, tell him I'd like to chat with him also. You know, he's someone that I kind of...
Whenever
I heard that, I thought, you know, I'd like to check that out. I think it'd be kind of interesting, you know?
No, that's awesome. I'm doing that right. I'm going to write it down on my to-do list, right? Yeah, okay. That's fantastic. I did not... Thank you so much for letting me know. That's
sure.
Awesome.
There was another guy who is an actor over in England who I heard on the Graham Norton show a while back, and he was talking about he was interested in magic and wanted to join the Magic Circle, he'd never even been to the Magic Circle. And you can help me. I can't think of the fellow's name. I want to say Redwine or Redman. Is a guy who starred in the J.K. Rowling movie. He's going to have a sequel coming out about the Beasts.
That's right. That's right. Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Yes.
Or that's the one.
Right.
Wait, are you talking about the main actor in that one? Or?
Yes. Yes, the main actor in that.
But... Eddie Redmayne.
That's it, Eddie Redmayne. Thank you. Between the two of us, we got a brain. Good. anyhow, he had shown an interest, and I thought, you know, I would like to, you know, get in touch with him and maybe see about getting him in. It was kind of funny. He actually did a coloring book, just a standard coloring book trick, you know, that you do at a birthday party. But and he was just so excited, like a little kid, like, you know, this is the first. He says, "Look at this," you know, but he, you know, he had an interest in magic and kind of learning, and this was something that he had apparently just learned and some other stuff. But you know, that's another one of those people who is within our magic community in a way, but on, you know, on the outlying area, that's not something that they do as a full-time job, but just kind of a nice hobby.
We need to hook him in. We need to get him exposed. I think
maybe there should be some sort of a group, you know, of actor magicians or something. You know,
that would be so cool. Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is the president. I mean, he's already elected. Yeah. There we go.
Yep.
so, in your opinion, do you think magic is like a dying art, or do you think it's just starting to grow?
Good question. And I don't think it's a dying art by any means. I think that it has been growing thanks to television shows where they have been putting magic in a good light. Specifically, we're talking about, you know, Penn and Teller Fool Us. Had several seasons. Then, of course, Masters of Illusion. I think they're in their fifth season then right now that Gay has put together. There really haven't been any specials as there were before, you know, David Copperfield or David Blaine either in a long time have had shows. But Chris Angel, of course, had a series with Mind Freak and a couple of other things that he did then later. And let me also obviously say, with America's Got Talent, I mean, it was great that Shin Lim had just recently won.
Yeah, that's right.
And for lightning to strike twice, you know, after Matt Franco having won a couple of years ago, the point is that is in mainstream America. I mean, that's not just like an offshoot television network.
That's right.
I mean, it's on NBC, a major network where there are quadrillions of people, it seems like, you know, who watch it and vote on this thing. So the point is that they have shown magic in a good light and how it can be entertaining, and it's not just, somebody twisting balloons at a birthday party, you know, dressed up like a clown or something, you know. I mean, it has not. I think it's slowly becoming more into the mainstream and accepted. Having said that, that way that people, I think, were going to be booking and are booking more magicians slowly, getting back, you know, since post 9/11. It's been slowly, you know, coming back to have people to get booked for corporate shows and other kinds of things because it was down for a while, but it's getting more popular. So it's certainly not dying because people are seeing it. They are booking magicians.
Sure.
They want to see that. I think that it is very active and thriving right now.
That's good, because I do too. You know, at first when I went into this, I thought, oh my gosh, no one's gonna care about magic. And then as soon as I did my very first live audience, I was like, wow, like even just a small group of people, this is amazing. So then I think about like all the Vegas shows, and I'm like, wow, like these guys are really,
that's a good point.
Really good. Yeah. So I think the main motivation for me to do magic is it's not necessarily influence, but it's impact. You know, how you're having an impact on people's lives. Like, wow, I remember Michael. He did this really cool trick, and this is, you know, that's how I remember him. I think, I'm trying to think of the word. I'll come back to that later. But anyways, I was going to ask you about what do you think of Shin Lim? Do you think he's cool, or do you think he's kind of gimmicky?
Nope. Yeah, maybe a little bit. It plays well. I have seen him in close-up situations and had judged him as well, you know, at the IBM convention when I was a judge. And we, you know, had him his first prize. You know, he is the real deal. He spends a lot of time, a lot of effort in the structure of each performance and makes them memorable, certainly. And when you compare the kind of close-up that he has done to, let's say, John Dornbos. You know, was there last year or the year before, I believe, in America's Got Talent and went pretty far. It was different from the kind of close-up that he had done, or different from the kind even that Matt Franco had done. So a different kind of personality, and again, I think that's an advantage for, or a positive thing for us in Magic, to, for the audience to see various styles of what they can do.
Yeah.
So I think Shen is the real deal. He's a very affable young man. I think he's got obviously a good career ahead of him, and $1 million doesn't hurt. You know, so he'll have some contracts performing different places, and I'm anxious to see how that will all work out for him. But yeah, I think that he's great and deserves everything that that he had gotten over there. I just think that it certainly made sense, particularly if you look at the last two, when it came down to it, and America's Got Talent here this year, and the other one was a dance troupe or of a family, or not a family,
yeah,
but they were adults and children. And I can't see that really being their act, as good as it was, being in a Las Vegas venue, because there again, like with you, they'd have to have special school for the kids, and, you know, could they actually do,
sure,
you know, an hour and a half show with everything? I mean, that's a lot of physical energy, for one, and number two, of having to all these people and kids and families, everybody, to move to Vegas or wherever it needs to be. So it's easier, you know, for one person, had it been a singer or a dancer, or, you know, maybe the other troupe of the two trapeze artists or whomever. Yeah, it would make more sense for them than it would be for a kind of a family group, or I say family, you know, young and old group of people,
yeah,
you know, like that. I kind of got off topic a little bit. You asked about
Shen,
but
yeah,
I thought that he was very good and capable, and I'm very happy for him.
Oh no, I think he's great. I don't really know too much about Shen. I know he's an actual wizard. The things that he does are like
they look great on TV.
Crazy. Oh no, yeah, like TV, like he's got TV magic in the bag. Like there's no one who can top Shen Lim TV magic. I don't really know about close up. I mean, you know, if he does a show or whatnot, he'd probably have to be a little bit farther back.
Exactly. But also, I think with that, if he's just going to be doing close-up, my thought was, how long would an audience sit and just watch the big screen TV, you know, with the camera,
yeah,
on the table? I mean, he could, I'm sure, do an hour and a half, you know, just close-up, but you got, like with Matt Franco, to make the thing larger. You know, Matt really has just, when I saw a show, just one illusion. You know, he had a Dakota chair, basically, and
yeah,
but no other backdrops, big props, or dancing girls or anything else. He had a few assistants that would bring things out and everything, but he used a lot of audience participation, and he made a small show look large, and that's kind of what I think Shen's going to have to do. Certainly that you can have some television cameras and some IMAGs and everything to kind of show, but you can't have, I don't think an audience would sit there and watch a big screen for an hour and a half when they could do that at home, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's possible, but I feel like the magic that he does, it's a little bit limited in the sense where, I mean, I don't know how much that table costs, but you know,
yeah,
I feel like this is just completely my opinion. It loses a little bit of the audience interaction, because like you said, you know, he got the audience very, very involved, and with Shen, you know, he's gonna have to do something a little bit different. That's what I have always loved so much about magic, and I never really understood I don't want to say the David Blaine people, or because,
yeah,
he, but you know what I'm saying, like those guys who are just very serious about it, and they don't quite have the showmanship, if you know what I'm saying. They mm-hmm. don't make it larger than life. They don't make it funny for the audience. It's, I feel like that's the true essence of magic. And although the guys who don't do that can be successful, I feel like just me as an audience member, it would be so much more engaging. And you know, if I ever got a show, mine would definitely be closer to Piff's, because his is more comedy than it is magic.
Right.
And I think that's incredible.
He relates to the audience a lot easier. I think it's more difficult if you have a more serious character to try and break that fourth wall. Whereas if you have some comedy and you make fun of yourself and the kind of show that Piff does, I think it engages the audience. You know, I've not seen David Blaine perform his stage show. I understand it is phenomenal. And I think the reason that it would have to be phenomenal for people to say those comments would be because you have to be able to break that fourth wall and, you know, have the audience, you know, love you. I was just thinking, for example, Michael Carbonaro. Obviously, we were talking about him earlier. You said that you like him, and I do too. When he came through Houston and I saw his stage show here, of course, he came in to begin with a television celebrity rock star that people liked him. It's kind of like, I guess, Jerry Seinfeld walking into a comedy club. People are going to laugh just before he even says his first joke, you know. And the same thing with Michael. They have certain expectations. They're applauding and laughing and think that he's great because of his body of material that he's already done. The same thing, I think, with David Blaine, that he comes in with these preconceived notions of what he can do and has done and wondering if he's going to be doing that on stage or whatever. But, you know, Piff has been on television a few times, obviously on Penn and Teller and America's Got Talent and elsewhere. But he has a nice character. I say a nice character. He has a caustic character, actually. But it plays very well. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you haven't seen Mike Hammer's show, because it's a late night show also there in Vegas, and because they serve alcohol, I don't know that they probably let you in that show necessarily, but Mike has a kind of an impish character, but it's kind of a Don Rickles, if you ever
a Don Rickles,
in which that he kind of, you know, makes fun of the audience and some of the people, but he does it with such a nice grin and a childish wink that people accept that, and he can get by with it, and I think that's what breaks that fourth wall, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true, and that's actually, I kind of want to check that out now. I didn't even know. Wait, so what is his name again?
Mike Hammer, just like, you know, hammer and nails. Yeah,
just like Hammer. Okay.
Yeah, he's at the Four Queens. In fact, he was on the cover of the Linking Ring, I believe, in the February issue here of 2018, or somewhere earlier this year, I believe. So there was a feature article about him in there. But and you can go back into the podcast and just do a search. Go to themagicwordpodcast.com and just do a search for Mike Hammer, and you can listen because after his show one night, we went to a back room and sat for an hour and chatted. Well, what are your long-term goals? Also, as far as, you know, performing, I mean, obviously that you're interested in this. And one thing that's really nice about magic, as Eugene Berger always said, is there are many rooms in magic. And so, you know, you can go from one room to the next because you might like cards and ropes now, but tomorrow it might be Linking Range. It could be Stage Illusions, or it could be Mentalism or whatever. And so, you know, who knows where you're going to be going, but do you kind of have, you know, a long-term goal of kind of what you're thinking you might want to do with that? As I mentioned, Ian Armitage that wanted to do a stage act in Vegas. Anything like that, or to continue acting, hopefully, or what?
Yeah, I guess I've really I've thought about this a lot, and I guess the conclusion that I've came to is every time that I have tried to pinpoint the exact location of where I'm going to be in the next year or so, it always ends up taking a completely different route. And,
sure.
I mean, I'm totally all right with change, you know, because when I first got my magic set, I thought I was going to do magic for the rest of my life. And then, you know, Fuller House came up and I kind of stopped for a little bit. And then, you know, I got back into it. And now, if I really had to look at the future of magic, I feel like once I – okay, see, here's the thing. I want to do magic for the rest of my life because it's such an amazing art, and I think that I really have a knack for it, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it just as a hobby. I think that teaching people, I think I definitely want to be a teacher of magic one day and inspire. That was the word I was looking for.
Okay.
Inspire. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Yeah, that's right. I want to inspire others to, do magic. And although it would be great to have a stage show, I don't feel like that's my number one goal. I mean, if I do become that big of a magician, that would be fantastic. But if I really had to say one goal, it would be to get enough experience to teach the next generation of magicians hands-on, or, you know, whatever form of media is the most popular.
Sure, at that time.
Like, probably in like 2050, we're going to have like holograms that are going to teach you how to do magic.
Well, you know, they always say don't give up your day job to do magic necessarily. And
of course not. Yeah.
I mean, you look at someone like Gene Anderson, who was a part-time pro, and he was an engineer with Dow, and of course invented the Torn Restored newspaper and did a lot of other things. The Newspaper Act, as well as other kinds of things. But the point is, there are a lot of really good magicians who are part-time pros just like that. I mean, you still can do shows, you know, if you might find that acting, I mean, you might get a really plum job here, you know. I mean, you got a great one right now as an acting career with some great potential for the future. So, you know, certainly don't give that up, because again, just like with Look at Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, obviously that he's still doing that. I don't know that he actually does shows. I mean, I can't imagine that he does. And but when he does, I'm sure it's some sort of a celebrity type of a donation and charitable type of thing that he would do. But he still is successful, you know, on Broadway with Tonys and, you know, Emmys and everything else, you know, television shows, et cetera. So, you know, I'd say to kind of look to him as being a kind of inspiration, sure. And, you know, if not a mentor, but at least someone, you know, who would be inspiring you to kind of continue to do what you're doing, as long as that, as long as you can ride that train, you know?
No, that's actually, that's great advice, I think. And, you know, obviously I don't want to give up my day job or anything. I think acting is awesome. And I think it's going to carry me somewhere that, that I'm really meant to go. But magic just as a passion or like, you know, a hobby or whatnot, if something gets more out of it, if I'm able to teach one day, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, I think that's, if I had to say anything, that answers your question.
Well,
I want to be a teacher at magic.
Yeah, you could actually go back, if you're hanging out in the L.A. area, obviously, is to go back and to teach at the Magic Castle, possibly, you know, to work with the youth program. I'm sure that they could use more teachers with the with that youth program, or, you know, eventually that Mark and Nani were not going to be teaching the adult course, and so you might be able to work in there or something. Who knows? I'm just saying that there might be some other opportunities, you know, right there in your current backyard, you know, so.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there's some, you know, L.A. is the land of opportunity, I think, and there's a lot of there's a lot of magic folk up here. This is a very condensed area of magicians, I think, you know, with the Magic Castle and all that. So a lot of opportunities, lot of stuff for people my age, fortunately.
Yeah.
So I'm very glad to say that I am going to continue to do this for a very long time, I think.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. Well, as we start to wrap up over here, then let me just ask you, of course, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. And so what is your current philosophy of life? I mean, what is it that are your, I mentioned goals earlier, but at least, you know, something that...
But just the overall,
Yeah. It's not necessarily a word, it could be a phrase. You know, what is it that inspires you?
I think the one thing that I've always lived by throughout my entire life, I've always stuck by it, is be humble. And being humble has served me so well, because I just gained so much respect, and from that respect I gained opportunities, and I didn't even really have to do anything. I was just being myself. So be humble, and that's, in my opinion, the key to a lot of things in life, a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I'd say never lose that then, Michael, because, goodness, you know, you hear about different people, particularly in your line of work, as they're getting older, perhaps that they're harder to work with. And as a result, it's like, hey, you know, if a producer or a director's got somebody that's easier to work with, and that, all things being equal, when everyone's trying out and auditioning for certain parts, I'd rather go with the easy guy, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that... in acting, that has just gotten lost, especially nowadays, because, you know, you look at all the really cringeworthy YouTube stars and the Instagram influencers, and it's like, it's just so fake that I'm trying to be like the light in the darkness, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, to be humble. That's great. Well, Michael, thanks very much. I've enjoyed talking with you and getting to know you. And I'm looking forward to getting an opportunity to actually, like you said, rather than digitally following you or on social media, to actually sit down and we can session together with some card tricks or something there sometime.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, thank you so much, Scott.
All right. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Campion. This is Scotty out.
Bye-bye.
Wow, well, that was a lot of fun, and I want to thank you very much, Michael, for being my guest, and I look forward to perhaps getting a chance to see you over at the Magic Castle sometime, and maybe we can go and sit in the corner and exchange a few card tricks with each other. And by the way, as a follow-up to this conversation, I heard back from Michael, who said that his audition at the Magic Castle went great, and he got accepted as a junior member. Congratulations then, Michael. And I want to thank all the rest of you for tuning in and listening. I hope that you enjoyed this and got a lot out of it as much as I did. We certainly covered a lot of territory here within this past hour. But I want to thank you, and also I want to thank our sponsor, theperfecttrick.com, for sponsoring this program each and every week. And it's because of them that we continue to be on the air, as well as the Friends of the Magic Word. I certainly appreciate each and every one of those people who have pledged and donate financially to the Magic Word in order to keep us going. Also, that we will appreciate if you use Amazon.com to go through themagicwordpodcast.com, and you can click on the link that will take you through our affiliate contact information there, and that way anything that you purchase on Amazon into this holiday season, then it will help benefit the Magic Word Podcast. One thing we've got right now, of course, if you haven't gotten your 2019 calendar, be sure to go over to the Magic Word Podcast. You can click on the link there, and it will take you to Amazon. And while you're there, of course, you can purchase anything else, and all your purchases, some minor portion of that will go to helping to fund the Magic Word through their affiliate program. So thank you again very much for listening. And if you have not yet signed up for our newsletter, please do. It kind of keeps you up to date on what's going on. And I also want you to tune in then next week. So until then, stay well, get booked, and always remain humble. This is Scotty out.